Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and also on every podcast catcher from iHeartRadio to Apple to Google to Audible to Amazon Music, everywhere you listen to podcasts. It's me, the Dark Mark. I'm the goth comedian. And as always, I call myself the Dark Mark like somebody else did. For some reason, nobody can get my name right, but I'm Dark Mark, singular, the goth comedian. And here's my co-host, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Six.
Hello, good evening.
Hi, Nicole. How are you? How's your week been?
It's been good. I kind of been sitting around watching movies lately, checking out the new Fear Street because I'm a huge R.L. Stein fan. Yeah. I didn't enjoy it that much. It's not very good.
Did you like the Goosebumps movie?
I didn't. Did you watch it?
The books are always going to be better, but I heard that they kind of, the way they did it was kind of interesting and that Jack Black was playing R.L. Stein.
It looked like a really cool setup. Wanted to like it. I just didn't.
And Fear Street is for the little kids that are too grown up for Goosebumps. They're too scary.
Yep.
Anyway, we got somebody who loves horror movies.
The problem is it was definitely geared toward a younger audience.
Hmm. We got somebody here who likes horror movies as well as sex and more sex and more sex and being filmed for sex and having people watch her masturbate and all sorts of things. And she has she's actually a certified sex expert. We'll find out what that means. And has the best hair in adult movies.
Ooh.
Sarah Starr.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah. This is a long time coming. I haven't seen you since BBW Con, I think.
Yeah. Or maybe, I think so.
Or maybe it was AVN afterwards, like AVN 2018.
There had to have been, I think we ran into each other at one of the AVNs.
We ran into each other a couple of them, but I think that was before I was banned. I don't know what happened. Like, they stopped giving me,
I press passes
for like 3 years. I don't know if it was banned, but I got press passes for 3 years.
Right.
And then I applied for a press pass like 1 year, like 2019. They're like, no.
That's so weird.
What are you going to say, Nicole?
Nothing. I don't have an answer to that. That sucks.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? It's all right. I got some good videos over. But the weird thing is, and we're going to talk about this, Sarah, my videos from the AVN, as far as hits on YouTube, do well.
Yeah.
But they just pale in comparison to the numbers of the BBW Con. Those are exponentially my biggest YouTube videos until one got taken off. And that's the one that predominantly featured you.
Oh.
But that was like 500,000 hits. That was like my biggest video by far.
So, wow.
Yeah. So anyway, before we get started, we're going to talk about BBW, sex, all sorts of stuff. Got to get our sponsors real quick, and I'm real thirsty, so let me get into this right now. Raise energy drink. This is the best energy drink. Forget the Red Bulls. Forget all the stuff you get in the store. You can only find this exclusively at GNC's or gyms. Or if you go to the description of the show on YouTube or on any podcast catcher, there will be a link to a page where you can get 15% off. That's what I did. I just got a case of Baja Lime, which tastes just like Baja Blast from Taco Bell, except even better because it has zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash. Delicious. And also, you were talking about Fear Street, Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
You're sponsored by Audible.
Yay.
So forget the Fear Street movie. Go get an audiobook of one of the classic Fear Street stories or any R.L. Stein or any horror novel that you want on audibletrial.com/DMS. You get any book you want. It doesn't have to be a horror book. You can get whatever you want. And fiction, nonfiction, they've got everything from Shakespeare to Smut. They have tons of BBW erotica. And you can get a free book, access to any of the Audible originals, including the new Sandman Neil Gaiman adaptation they did for audio for free. Just go to audibletrial.com/DMS. Perfect for a road trip. So, Sarah, from what I understand, you have a dual residence here in don't know if you're in LA or New Orleans. I don't know where you are right now.
I'm in New Orleans right now. Yeah, it's crazy. Sorry. I'm in New Orleans right now, but yeah, I kind of bounce forth back and forth. So it's like, you know, LA and then the other LA, the smaller LA.
I've lived in both.
New Orleans.
Nicole?
I was asking what drew you to New Orleans.
I actually ended up in Louisiana. It's a crazy long story, but it was kind of family kind of thing. And it was like, oh, okay, so I'm here. And went to college, got married, got divorced, and then just stayed. And then I slowly got into the industry and I'm like, well, it's kind of cheap to live out here and just travel. So
I can attest, it's definitely cheaper to live in New Orleans than it is in LA. Exceedingly so, especially if you live in the 7th Ward like I did.
Right, or like, you know, in Metairie or something. It's like,
oh, okay, you in Metairie?
Yeah, out in Metairie.
That's a suburb.
Like if you live like in Kenna of Metairie, you know.
No, that's what people were telling me, though. You should live in Metairie because I was a bit in the hood. And
right, like, yeah, if you live in the ward, you're like, oh, well, you know.
Yeah, if you live in a ward, it's never good, you know?
Right, hospital like ward, if it's psych number ward, you're like, yeah, any ward.
Better than the 9th ward, but it was still, ooh, yeah.
It's still right there.
Yeah, but that's very cool. I hung out Metairie a little bit, but I love the city. So, you know, you have to go out to LA for a few things. And so are you the only porn star in New Orleans, as far as you know?
You know, there aren't many that like I've met who live out here. I know there are people who do some stuff like camming and stuff, but I really never get to meet people out here who do stuff. So it's that weird, like, where are the people?
Right.
Where are the people like me?
The people, well, I will say there are a lot of people that want sex down in New Orleans.
Yes. And that's always like a difficult thing to sort out, you know, because they're like, hey, we love to have sex. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, my job and stuff makes it kind of different.
So do you find dating difficult of being an adult?
Yeah, it's really a different kind of animal here because, you know, Louisiana is a different animal. Like a lot of people don't, it's not like a blanket statement, but a lot of people are like, what's an STI test? Like, why would I do that? I'm fine. You know, it's like, what? You haven't ever done that?
You would think that people would understand.
And, you know, you've got, you know, with all the COVID stuff, you know, we're really low with the vaccine rates and, you know, people have a lot of assumptions about a lot of things and they're like, oh, well, if you get, you know, an STI test, that clearly means that you think something's wrong with you and you're a dirty person. It's like, no, that's not really how that works, but.
So somebody has to be vaccinated and STD free for you to even consider.
You know, that's those are reasonable things.
Right. See, I'm in LA. I mean, it seems reasonable to me, but I don't know. I've had women ask me for tests and they weren't porn stars.
Yeah, where it's just like, hey, when's the last time you had this done? Or, you know, if you've never done this, like, could you wear a condom? And they're like, oh, and then there are like 18 excuses about why condoms are problems. You know, like, oh, why would I wear that? You know, they're uncomfortable and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, geez, here we go.
Really, I'm going to tell you a secret and also our tens of thousands of audience. I may have said this on the air before, but I've never had sex without a condom. Ever. People think I'm weird.
I usually always wear a condom. Like there's only one exception I can think of right now. And I spent the last year with the same partner and even though we were together for a year, we used condoms like all the time. Like we never stopped. Part of that was because I was on birth control, but even after I got on birth control, just felt safer. I mean, with everybody getting sick all the time because of COVID, not that condoms protect against COVID, but it's just like you're more heightened in your awareness of STDs and infections already.
Well, would it be weird if it did? Like, instead of everybody having to wear masks, they have to wear condoms all over.
They're like, hey, great. Condoms for everyone. And yeah, like, that's the real answer.
You go to a restaurant or a bar, they're like, you gotta show me your condom, please. And then and what do girls do? That's so weird. They gotta show their IUDs. I don't know what the
very weird. They go up inside.
No, I know. I've heard, the female condoms. Yeah. And by the way, if you're having sex without a condom, they have real thin condoms. They're really nice.
They have like all these alternative materials. You know, they have the like poly material that's not latex, because there are people who have latex allergies, and that's a reasonable concern.
Yeah, I was a Trojan ends guy for a long time, and then I don't know, for some reason I tried to. Trojan makes these like real thin ones. I tried those. I'm like, wow, those are great. And then my ex-girlfriend like got these even thinner ones from Japan.
I
gotta find out where she got those. Those are great.
Japan is very state of the art in many things.
So thin.
Yeah. It's like anyway, they get it.
Ahead of the curve there.
Yes. So anyway, we're already talking sex, but because you're a certified sexpert, Sarah.
Yes. That's something that I did. I got certified in February of last year. So it was like right as the pandemic was becoming a thing. So it was kind of like an unusual timing where I was just like, this is a thing I'm going to do for 2020.
Was it, because we have a guest and a friend, Ann Hodder Ship, who does a sex education. Was it her? Or was it who certified you?
Oh gosh! Yes,
everyone deserves
Ava Cabell. It's the Loveology Master Sexpert.
Okay.
So Loveology University. It's an online class. You know, a set of classes. Yeah, lots of coursework, and it was one of those things. Like I was already familiar with a lot of the information because I looked at going to Indiana.
And you're a porn star.
Well, that too. It's like that, you know, you amass information.
You fought
that
for
way.
A living.
Yeah. And you know, I'd looked at you know, going to a proper like brick and mortar university and you know, going into like sex therapy or that type of thing. And I'm like, well, that's you know, $100,000 I don't exactly want to finance.
That's insane.
Yeah, so I was like, let's do this and you know, see what happens with it. And I was like, wow, I kind of chose like the best and worst time to do this because there's a pandemic and now I can't really do anything with this.
But what did you learn that you didn't know before?
That was the tricky thing. Like there wasn't a terrible lot that I felt like I came away with that I'm like, whoa, I've been enlightened. You know, and part of their thing is they do a lot of continuing education. So it's mostly about kind of staying aware of like newer things. So,
right.
You know, it's like, oh, with COVID, you know, it's like, how do you prevent the spread while still being sexual? And, you know, there's all this stuff with gender studies, which is unrelated to COVID, but, you know, gender dynamics and that's continually evolving. So that's
back in my day, they had two genders.
Well, you know, so that's,
remember you know, that?
So understanding gender fluidity and, you know, helping people feel comfortable and confident no matter their gender, you know, so they're
right,
all
I'm kidding. I'm all for that. I'm just saying, I always like to make myself feel old and be like, back in my day, there were two genders, male and female. That was it. Now there's like 29. At least.
It's an interesting, it's like, wow, things have changed.
Yes.
I gave up and I just let people be whatever they declare themselves to be. You want to be macaroni.
I'm like, you need to tell me though so I know how
exactly. Like, I can't memorize all that shit, but no. I will give the respect and independence you deserve.
Because that's the irony. Sarah saw my dick and she still asked me what it was. That's the weird thing about it. But I cleared like it up in the end. But so Sarah, how did you get into the adult industry? You were a webcam girl for a while.
Yeah, I did webcamming first. So I did that a lot. And I was like, cool, webcamming, this is fun. It's something I can do, you know, whenever I have time. And, you know, all that stuff. So it was a cool thing that I was doing. And then it was like, oh, do you want to go shoot for a studio? I was like, yeah, why not? That'll be fun too. You know, I was like, I like to have sex with people.
Now, were you always like hypersexual?
Yeah, like that was always, so it was that weird balance of like figuring out, you know, like, hey, how can I like enjoy myself but still be like safe, like optimally safe? It was like, wow, this is a great avenue for that. Like everyone's safe, you know, or as safe as, yeah, you know.
That's one thing about the porn industry. You guys get tested more than anyone.
We are tested so much. Like if you're actively like performing like all the time, you have to get tested at least every 14 days.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a very like, you're getting tested all the time.
That first, I have a weird question.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
Noah. So when I go through the rare dry patch, which is usually by choice because I'm just like tired of dealing with men or something, I have really heightened sexual dreams. Given that you have sex so often, do you still have sexual dreams, or is it like, yeah, your subconscious already burned out?
I do, because like this, so I always try to explain like porn sex is so different from real sex. Because porn sex, like you've got people videoing you, you're so thinking about what's happening, because you have to remember, it's like, oh wait, where's the camera? But also not looking at the camera, because you don't want to be like staring it down.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that when they look at the camera.
Like I'm tracking the camera, you know, like you don't want to do that, but you have to be aware of where it is, because there are some shots where like the camera's in your face. You're like, oh wait, I am supposed to look at it now. You're like, oh yeah, hey, you know,
like,
so like, it's like, hey, exactly. Like, oh, so, but it's like, but porno sex like kind of like takes you out of that like sexy element where you're like in the moment, because you're so concerned about everything going on around you, because you're like, wait, oh my god, is my leg like blocking the pussy? You know, like you have to think about all those things, like can the camera see everything, does my face look dumb, you know. Like you're just thinking
going through your vagina.
I mean, yeah, but that's the whole, like, you got to make sure, like, the camera can see everything. And so you're like, oh, wait, my leg's in the way. I got to, like, turn it funny. And then you're like, oh, my God, I'm going to get a leg cramp.
So, like, you're worried about the camera seeing both dicks?
Yeah.
Because that, yeah, that would suck if a dick was blocked.
See? All these things. So, like, porno sex really kind of takes you out of the game mentally. But then, you know, when you have real sex, it's like, oh, I'm not, you know, like I'm in the moment. I'm enjoying myself, hopefully.
Right.
You know? Hopefully. You know, I'm having fun. Like, this is recreation. This is a good time. Generally, you're with someone you really enjoy, you know. Yeah. So in that case, when, you know, doing that a lot, it can kind of tamper down the hypersexual dreams. But if it's like all work sex, then yeah, like my mind is still like just going. And especially because a lot of like the porno sex I have isn't necessarily like what I'm really, really into, so I'll still have dreams about like all the other like stuff.
I have really weird sex dreams, but they're really good. Are yours normal, or would you think they're like a little freakish?
A little weird, where it's like, oh, I don't know where that came from.
See, now everybody wants to know what you two are talking about in detail. Describe a freaky dream for both of you.
My last one, I dreamed about this girl using a shoe to get me off, like a high-heeled shoe. Not the not the pointy part, the toe part. Like, oh, she knew what she could do with that. And I never really thought about that in my waking time, but it was an all right dream.
Did you get off?
Well, I wake up before I get off usually.
Yeah.
Like, did you really get turned on by that?
I don't think I do it in real life, but in the dream I was pretty turned on.
All right. So Sarah, can you top that?
I mean, that's a unique one. I always go back to like having sex, like dreams about like having sex on planes, because, you know, flying back and forth a lot, it's like, oh, it sucks, like there's never any room on a plane, and I always fly by myself. And...
Oh, the Mile High Club. You're right. Not a member?
No, it sucks. Like, never gotten to do that. And so it's like this kind of constant dream where it's like, you know, that thing like, oh, I should have been able to do this by now, but with the way air travel is these days, not going to happen.
Yeah, COVID took away your Mile High Club dreams.
Oh, man.
Because I don't think they're going to watch it if two people go in the bathroom.
I don't know. Do you know how small that is?
Trust me, I know. I've been up
there. Yeah, they're so small.
Especially Spirit Airlines, I would stay away from that altogether.
Oh my god, so tiny! Like I've never.
Well, they'll charge you. Also, they'll charge another $75 for that.
Like I've never tried to pee in the plane on a Spirit flight. I have on like Southwest. I'm like, yeah, well, I'm gonna
Southwest
go pee.
Fine, Delta, they got that.
I'm like, I'm gonna go pee.
It's small, but they're
it's
they're
small. Yeah. I don't know if it's like two people big enough though.
Well, Nicole, with the perfect segue, I kind of blew, but you would do a lot of foot stuff.
I've done some, yeah.
People
like
love your feet.
Yeah. Yeah, they like, you know, they don't hate them.
I'm not really into feet.
What is about your feet that are special?
Cool. I guess because I have really high arches. So, like, it's kind of nice for that whole, like, foot fucking thing because they're really high. So it kind of works.
I've never fucked feet. I'm going to get into that. Nicole, you were going to say something.
I was just going to say, I'm kind of like, I'm technically grossed out by bare feet, but with heels on, they're very sexy, I think. Like, right. Not guys. On guys, I like to see like Converse or Italian loafers.
Right.
But woman high heels is pretty hot.
Yeah, guys don't pedicure as often as the ladies do.
But, it's true. Women on average have nicer feet than men.
I don't know. They all look the same to me. I don't know. I guess, I mean, you know.
Feet look totally different than female feet.
Yeah. Men feet
I guess
are Wilma
Funson's feet were better than Fred's, but other than that, I don't know really. The five toes and arch and the heel, they're all kind of the same. I think. Except, you know, Sarah's got beautiful arches. We're perfect for fucking, apparently.
I have nice feet. Like, and then my friend, I won't say who, I look at their feet all the time, and I'm like, you do not have nice feet. You need to hide those. But they don't. Yeah. They probably wear them.
Yeah, there's like, a lot of people that need to hide their feet, that's for sure. But apparently, though, you got to, if you're in the industry, you got to delve to that. There's so many guys at the feet.
It's a thing, yeah. Like, some people are way into it, where they're like, look, I'll totally do this, but the feet have to be part of it. And it's like, okay.
Like what? That's,
you know, whatever. Like, they're just like, I'm totally down to, like, shoot the sex scene, but you gotta let me suck on your toes. And it's like...
Oh, like other porn star guys?
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like,
oh, I didn't
okay.
know that.
You know, like, okay. You know, it's like, that could be so much worse. I mean, I think the only bad time I had as far as, like, foot stuff was I was shooting a scene, and everything's fine. Like, the sex is fine. It's whatever. My leg was in the air, and he was, like, kind of kissing my feet. I was like, this is fine. But then he bit my foot really, really hard.
Why? Why would you bite a foot?
It's so hard, where I was almost, like, I almost, like, reacted and smacked him because it hurt.
Maybe I was hungry. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. And it was the strangest thing because he bit me very hard.
Did he draw blood?
Well, no, not that bad. But after, there was like a little bruise. And I was like,
ew.
I'm all like holding it together in the scene because, you know, I'm like, look, we're going to make it through. We're going to get this done. And then after, like, we're all done. Everything's over. The guy left. And I told the person shooting it, I was like, he bit me on the foot really hard. Like, really hard. And I don't know whatever happened to that guy. Like, I've never really seen his name pop up again.
Foot biter is gone from the industry.
The foot biter.
But apparently, you know, it's one of those things where I'm like, geez, I hope it wasn't like over this whole like biting me on the foot thing. I just think someone needed to tell him, like, hey, maybe don't bite people that hard.
Nibbling's fine. No big chomping. Yeah.
Right, or at least like mention, like, hey, I like to bite a little bit. And that way the person can be like, no, you know, or like, don't bite my feet.
Right.
They're sensitive, like, they're, you know, whatever.
I don't like being bit either. I had a partner that was incredibly rough with my nipples, and I kind of sort of like gritted and bared through it. Cause like, you know, whatever, I'm kind of a service submissive. Like I let you do what it takes for you to get to that point of the more aroused you get, the more aroused I get.
Yeah.
It hurts. Like I got bit on the nipple and it was not fun.
Well, first off, I don't know if anybody's manhandling Sarah's nipples because you have the, you have the nipple ring, so it'd be
right. And like still like
pain then, like if someone plays with them.
I like some, but like some people will still like try to like pull on them and stuff, and it's like, oh, you know, there's a piece of metal going through there. Like that's kind of the it's why that's there. Like slow down. Like that's the they just need to be licks at this point. They don't need anything extra.
Oh, yanking. You don't have
right. Like they're not designed to be like pulled on.
Right.
Yeah, I've definitely had mine pulled on. It hurts. Like, I don't understand how that they, I don't know if they think that that's pleasurable or if they just want to do it. I mean, they can't imagine.
Right.
I think both from the male perspective, because we don't know anything. So. You know, it probably did to somebody. They're like, ooh, you know, so.
But and some people, everyone likes different things. And I guess that's a lot where like the communication comes in, where, you know, it's like kind of that checking in, like, hey, do you like this? And it's like, no, I'm not loving that. Can you just like lick them or, you know.
I don't know what you like in your private life there, but look, doing a cursory look over your website, your films and your Twitter and, you know, the cursory research that I did every night this week, a couple times. but just very thorough research. You seem to be more of a dom than a sub.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least your character is.
I am not good at the submissive stuff.
Let's go.
Like, that's not my
you like to take a man and you like to take a man and just mold him in your image and just break him down.
Exactly.
And there you go. See, that shine the light on you. Yeah, because the one thing that you did that I just recently found out that this is like a thing, because I'm not into it.
Yeah.
You did the giantess video.
Yeah, yeah. It's it's one of those, like, I get requests for it every now and then. And yeah, people are kind of into that. And
are you familiar with this, Nicole?
It's the thing where I heard about this recently. I don't know if it's the same thing, but basically you pretend to be a giantess and they pretend to be a tiny man, right?
Yeah. And it's all shot from like really low angles. So you look even taller than you already might be. So like in my case, I'm, you know, 5'8", 5'9", and it's like, you know, just exaggerating the height.
And then you tell the man how small and it's
so tiny. And
what is hot about that? I don't get it.
Last week I was listening to.
I think it's partly to go back to that whole, you know, it's a dominance thing and like being so small that they can be crushed, because crushing and smothering is also a fetish. So there's kind of that adjacent.
Yeah, and I experienced that firsthand on the show and we had a dominatrix sit on my face and for quite a while.
Wow.
So I had to tap out.
Oh yeah, you're like,
we'll
no,
have to have
I'm
her
good.
Back on now that we got a studio, but we'll have to do that again. But or maybe you could do it next time you're in LA. We can go in studio.
That could be a thing.
Sit on my face. But now I understand the whole dominatrix and spanking and torture and like role play and bondage and that. I don't understand. I'm a 20-foot giantess and you're a 6-inch guy. I don't get it.
It's, you know, and I don't know if it goes all the way back to like people maybe reading like Gulliver's Travels and somehow like finding something sexual about that. You know, there's definitely like some kind of Sigmund Freud in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's
I read a porn, like, you know how they do like spoof parody porns?
Yeah.
I read a porn about Jack and the Beanstalk, only it was a giantess that he found up there.
See? I mean,
have you done any parodies of Sarah?
Not really. I did a little bit like dressing up as like Velma from Scooby-Doo. But
oh, I saw I definitely researched things like that.
I recently got all the pieces to do Pam from Archer, but I need someone to help me like fix the wig because I couldn't get like just a proper wig already done. So I have a long wig that I need someone to help me like fix.
Well, you have the best hair in porn. When did you start dyeing your hair?
Oh, I can't just like dye it blonde. Like that level of blonde.
No, no. When did you first dye your hair?
Oh, when did I start? Oh, geez. I've been dyeing my hair. I mean, the crazy colors.
Yeah, the crazy colors. Yeah, this is like, she's got like, kind of a cotton candy sort of thing right now.
Yeah, I mean, now it's got like purples and blues and pinks and it's got a whole thing going on. God, I've been doing the crazy colors for probably like 8 years or so.
And I'm sure you get requests for the carpets to match drapes and.
Yeah, some people have asked. That's like really hard to do.
I'm sure.
No idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't dye my pubes either, Nicole. Just so you know. Well, here's another thing. When we're talking about the giantess fetish, you also. I don't know if guys pay you to tell them how small their dick is.
Yeah. Yeah. Even on Twitter.
Yeah. I saw this dude on Twitter. Yeah. You're like, look at this guy's small dick. And it was pretty small, but I'm like,
yeah,
I think I'd keep that to myself if I had a,
that's a dick whole, that small. You know, because in some cases they like, I have videos so they can like buy the video and just watch it forever. Other people want like the Skype kind of thing where it's, you know, that live talking about, and other people are like, oh my God, can you do it on Twitter? You have so many followers. I'm like, okay. But, okay.
The ultimate exposure.
Right. And I'm like, other people might chime in. Like, you have to be prepared for this to be like other people chiming in.
Like the last small dick guy, was he pleased with all the feedback?
He was really excited. And then, you know, he was like, oh my God, do you know what the Twitter analytics look like on it? And I tried to look and like, there weren't any. I don't know why Twitter isn't giving me any data.
His dick was so small. That's why it didn't register.
Right. I'm like, sorry. It didn't recognize you.
So as a certified sexpert, what is the turn on by saying, I have the smallest dick in the world, show it to everybody?
You know, I don't, that's like a whole deep psychology thing that, you know, some people are like way into humiliation and that's their,
yeah,
that's their thing. Cause I've had people ask to be humiliated for things that I'm like, you know, like they'll show you and you're like, no, that's normal. Like you're fine. You know, in your head, you're saying that like, you're totally normal. You're fine. But in their head, like their dysmorphia says that there's something wrong with them.
Well, and porn's part of the thing with that.
Yeah.
Like, I know I had an ex-girlfriend assure me that my penis size was fine. So I've had that discussion. Like, you know, I know I'm not, you know, big like these porn stars. It's like, no, you're good.
Yeah.
But you know, it's nobody really knows. I mean, you would just the only dicks we see are in porn, or you know, once in a while, you know, we'll you know. Harvey Keitel will be naked in a movie or something, but you know, we don't know, we have memories of our dad when we were little kids, and you know, obviously we were little kids then. So weird. And it's so, and the thing is, you know, everybody likes something a little different. It's like, do you like him huge, or you like him a little smaller, or you don't like the little microphallus that guy had, but
right.
Like good, you know, 6-7 inches, or what are you into?
Right, like the, you know, average to above, but not, you know.
Or you like the, or you like the 10-12.
That's the thing. Like you see these guys in the industry, and there's some people I'm like, famous, super famous, terrifying.
Right. I don't want it too big.
Terrifying.
I don't want it like small, but I don't want it too big.
Exactly.
All right.
Okay. It's that Goldilocks thing. It's
also when it comes to penises, sometimes they're thick, like they're thicker than you have room for. And then it feels like really It's a combination of painful and good. Like, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I've dated two thick guys, and I've just been like, it feels like you're being torn into, and it's an interesting feeling.
Right. It's like, oh, I wasn't.
So you like thick, Sarah, too, or?
There again, there's that limit because, you know, like things only accommodate, right. And some people aren't patient.
Yeah.
But I mean, you, you know, you have such large, luscious curves. You're really, what is it? It's 50, 36, 50, something like that?
Like 39, I think.
39, okay.
So, yeah. But yeah, something.
Well, it's an hourglass.
Yeah.
Because I showed your picture to Nicole that you were coming on, and she's like, wow, because the cleavage is hard to ignore.
Yeah, it's hard to miss.
And this is, I'm assuming this was always the case, even when you were like in junior high, high school, you just.
Yeah, it's always been a mess.
I wouldn't describe it as a mess. I would describe it just right.
It was difficult, like trying to play sports and stuff. So.
Oh,
was,
yeah. This,
yeah. It was that like awkward mess. Yeah. Yeah. It was always tough.
What sports did you play?
So I played rec rugby, but also played basketball, and I threw some for track. So.
Oh, okay. So yeah. So the basketball wasn't the only thing bouncing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, you know, two sports bras and.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can only imagine, but but that's what I'm trying to think if I met you at the Avian or I met you at BBW. I think I met you at BBW. Then I saw you at the Avian afterwards. And we were talking before the show. Tell Nicole about the BBW con, because that's still my number one YouTube video. I mean, I'm sure you've been to other BBW conventions.
Not really, because that was kind of like the one that was happening, and then, you know, it kind of stopped happening for whatever. I don't know all of what happened with that, but I do
know the pool parties after hours must have been something.
Whatever. I never went. I ended up never making it to those, so I have no idea. I heard stories though. I did hear stories. but yeah, and then, you know, you hear about little things here and there. Like, I know, like, Vegas still has a lot of stuff that, you know, they have, like, get-togethers and things like that. But it's like, oh, you put it out, like, 3 weeks before. It's kind of hard to, like, grab a flight. And, you know, it's like oh, that's short notice.
Yeah. So, I mean, that definitely is a category of porn that men are into. We had Alexis Allure on last year. Who I met at BBW Con, and she said that a lot of guys that are married to skinny women on the down low are really, they really want big, beautiful women.
Yeah, I do think that's a thing where it's a weird, I don't want to say it's like this rule where they're like, oh no, I can't, you know, but it's definitely like a society thing. Like, oh no, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
You know, so.
You do the thing that impresses your friends, but secretly you want something else.
Right.
I always think they must think their women are accessories, like a purse or something, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's definitely that where it's like, oh, this is, you know, someone who's going to fit in with my friends' wives or girlfriends or, you know, versus like, oh, I really like this person, but is so out of the norm of, you know, all of my people kind of thing. So.
Yeah, I mean, you should go for whatever gets your dick hard. I mean, you know.
Right?
If that's what you're into, indulge. Do what you're into. I think. But it was an interesting clientele. And there were women all shapes and sizes. There were a couple that were SBBW, I suppose.
Right, right. Like the, you know, the super plump girls.
Now, are you designated super or no?
No.
Okay.
I'm like kind of in that like in between. And it's funny now, like seeing, you know, with kind of that whole like body positivity movement, now you'll have girls who have been called BBWs, but are now being called like mid-sized.
Okay.
Because they're on the smaller end of, say, like the plus size clothing scale. So a lot of people are starting to call them mid-sized because they're like not quite fully plus sized. And yeah, it's a weird, like, you know, it's like we're positive, we love everyone, but here are all the rules and
new sizes.
Yeah.
Speaking of women as accessories. Mid-size, it sounds like a Toyota Corolla.
Right. It's like, wait, so that's a mid-size car. I'm like a, you know, crossover or whatever, like a small SUV.
well, put a pin on that because we actually have one more sponsor that I didn't talk about at the beginning of the show, and I don't want to ignore them, especially since next week we've got Chami Chong from Cheech and Chong coming up.
What?
Yeah, and a couple weeks we've got Opium Moon. So sounds like a good time for Nicole to tell everybody about Renegade CBD and Renegade Kush.
Well, I had some Renegade CBD chocolate before today's show, which is why I'm so active and animated. I really enjoy the chocolate. It tastes a great deal like actual Hershey's milk chocolate. They use a real confectionist. She makes all the candies by hand, and they're fucking delicious. So if you're into edibles, Renegade CBD, it's amazing. I highly recommend it.
Right. And by the time you're watching this, the website should be up. It's coming up in the next month. That I'm still trying to figure this out with Charlie, but go to renegadecbd.com, renegadekush.com. If that doesn't work for you, go to renegaderadio.com. Not only will you find out about the CBD and the Kush, but you will also get to check out Nicole's stories about parties in Hollywood.
Where I use CBD products.
Yes, she does. Yeah. So yeah, you're in good company, Sarah. We've got quite a month coming up this month, and we're glad to have you on it. So we're talking about BBW. So who would you say is a typical fan of Sarah Starr? Do you have a typical fan?
Not really. Like, it's
a lot of black guys, a lot of skinny guys.
So many different types of people. Like, it's crazy because there's no, you know, I don't have like a catalog of, you know, because a lot of people, like, I never see them. So I don't know. You know, it's like I may just see like an avatar where I'm like, oh, okay. So yeah, it's really hard to say. Like, obviously, people are into tattoos and, you know, alternative looking.
You have
people.
The alternative look. Tattoos, you got the rings and all that. And yeah, you're kind of a rebel, kind of a. I guess you do kind of come up as a goth girl on some of the sites.
Yeah. Because, you know, sometimes I'll kind of do the whole kind of look, and other times I'm just like, well, I put on some lingerie and some lip gloss, you know, like I kept it simple. Other times I go all in, or I'm like, look, I got the whole vibe going today.
Well, you live in New Orleans, so you must have some goth in you. You must have.
Oh, there's always a little bit.
Yeah. You must not have quite outgrown your goth phase.
No. I'm an elder emo.
Oh, wait. So you think you describe yourself as an emo?
Yeah. Little goth, little elder emo, a senior, if you will.
Have you taken the vampire tour?
I have not.
Oh, you gotta go.
I know, like, for as long as I've lived out here, I've never done the vampire tour. And it's funny because I've never gone to the Museum of Death in New Orleans, but I went to the one in LA.
Okay.
Right.
Like, I totally did. I was like, wait, I went to the one in LA, but I haven't done the one here. Like, why did I do that?
Well, here's the thing. Let me ask you, because I lived in New Orleans for a while. I never found the goth scene, really. There were goths around, but I never found, like, a club.
No,
I never found the fetish scene either.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that it's not like there was, like, a spot. And now they're kind of trying to make spots. Like, there's now, like, this vampire bar that's opening.
Ooh.
Right, and it looks really cool. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to eventually, like, goth it up and go dredge myself over there, you know.
Because so of course first tattoo, Sarah, since you're talking about that.
Oh, my first tattoo was actually a puppy paws on my ankle for a dog that had passed. I went very like, let me do this first, because it was partly like, how bad is this gonna hurt? And you know, it's a little memoriam, and you know, still have it, never gonna cover it up. I'm like, You know, it's not like the greatest tattoo ever, but it is what it is.
So you have you must have some lapsed Catholics too, because you do a lot of nun scenes, I noticed.
I am not Catholic at all.
But your fans must be.
I think, okay, yeah. I think that's kind of the thing. And, you know, when you think about, like, religion, and obviously living in Louisiana, it's a very Catholic community. So it's just like, oh, this is easy to poke fun at. Because even though I'm not Catholic, I'm around so many Catholics that you kind of, like, it's almost like you're Catholic adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to, like, do a video and be like, I'm Baptist. Or whatever. You know, it's like, I'm a Protestant, and I'm here to make you feel like sinning. Right. Like, it doesn't have the same thing as, right. You know, you're in the habit. And
now, was that your idea, or was that a fan?
That was actually, oh, I think it was a fan's idea. Where it's like, oh, you'd look really cool as, like, a dirty nun kind of thing. Like, okay, I could play with that. You know, like, I could get into do that. So, because it's kind of also that idea of, like, playing with stereotypes. Like, I've done the cheerleader thing. There's nothing about me that is a cheerleader. I've never once, like, I've never been a cheerleader. I played sports. Like, I'm not.
Right. You're not peppy.
No.
Well, you could do it. You could pretend.
Exactly. And that's kind of the fun of it.
You need, like, some big pom-poms to you know. You can't go with the small size. You got to, I mean. You gotta,
right. The little bitty, the ones that come with the outfit where you're like, this is like three pieces of shred.
So what's the weirdest request that you got from a fan?
Oh, geez. That's a hard one. I've gotten a lot of requests that I could never do. Where right. I'm just like, no, thanks. Thanks for suggesting, but no. Because people ask for really, like, things that it's like, no, like, legally, I can't put this on the internet. Like, we're not allowed to put poop videos on the internet. Oh,
that's
yeah.
gross.
Just like, poop. So, yeah, like, that's just,
a lot,
like,
of peeing and pooping they want. And
so much, like.
But you're done squashing, right?
Let me keep something for myself.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Just splashing. Nope. Like, splashing is a lot of fun. I did not know that I was going to be into that as much as I was. It was so fun. It was super fun. It was a lot of fun.
I was going to say, Mark knows that I once broke up with a guy because he asked me to shit on his chest.
See, yeah.
Cleveland, I didn't want to go back there, but okay, we're going to talk about shit. All right.
Hard pass on the Cleveland steamer. No.
Mm-hmm. You're not into that privately, right?
No. That's the thing. Like, they're just something.
Like, I'm still shocked people are into it. You know, it's such a weird fetish. Very unhygienic.
And that's, like, I'm not, again, like, I don't want to kink shame anyone, because I know that out there is someone who is just waiting
to take a dump on your chest.
Drop that deuce. Like, you know, but I'm not that girl. It's not for me. There's some things that I need to keep for myself. In my own privacy, like the fact that, so I shoot, you know, this is like going deep into things. Like, I shoot some anal, not a ton, but, you know, every once in a while, shoot a little anal. And part of that process is you gotta clean the system a little bit. There's a little clean out that happens.
Yes.
And that's not a great day. That's not beautiful. And, you know, being in LA filming for a company doing that means that I'm not at my home doing that. I'm at a friend's place doing that. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, but I've got to go prep for this scene in your bathroom. And my friend's like, it's fine. Unfortunately, you know, he and his girlfriend, they both work in the industry. They're totally cool about it. They're like, it's fine. We totally get it. Go ahead. Everything's great. And I'm like, no, it's not great.
You do the enema and the whole thing. And
oh, there's, yeah. So, and it, I mean, it was fine, but it was just in my head, that whole, like, no, because
fine, yeah.
There's only a door separating us.
Oh, are you into anal privately?
You know, like, it's one of those, that if I get like super, super, super turned on a little bit, where it's like, oh, you've got me like so turned on, I could get down with that. But if it's just like, hey, it's Wednesday, can I put in your butt? Like, hey, you kind of like really like
hump day.
Right, but you know, if you just like walk in the door, you're like, hey, can I stick in your ass in about 10 minutes? Be like, could you like really get me turned on?
Don't fall for the I'm not gonna put anything but the head up in there.
Right. Oh no, the old just the yes. Tip, that's a lie.
Let it in a little bit.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't hate it or anything. It's just not, I don't get released from it. So I don't want to do it.
Or like if I'm having sex and everything's great and maybe there's like a little bit of a thumb put in, you know, like more just like pressing on the outside, like that's fine. Like you don't have to put the whole thumb in, like, you know, just like press on the outside a little bit, like that's cool, like that's all right. But I'm not like, hey, let's do butt stuff all the time.
to quote Andrew Dice Clay, you don't jam it in a girl's ass, you tickle it, you right. Work your way around it. So anyway, it's shocking and appalling that I know that. Anyway, now I guess this to every BBW porn star that I interview, and I interview a lot, because I interviewed some people. I was going to say at the BBW con, some of the smaller BBWs, and I said, you're not really a BBW, and they were embarrassed.
They're mid-size.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess now, but they were like, oh no, we're fed, we're BBWs, trust us. I'm like, she's bigger than you, and you know, it was just a weird thing. Now, is there a lot of jealousy in the BBW scene? Is there a lot of infighting? Is there a lot of drama?
Oh my gosh. I mean, so it's, we're at the end of July. It's so funny you ask this now. We're at the end of July. So September is coming. You're like, why is September relevant? Because that's when award season's nominations start, which means in November, maybe late October, they will release the nominees for things. And that's when everyone's going to get really ugly.
Ooh. What have you been nominated for?
I've been nominated for BBW Performer. You know, stuff like that. It's cool. Like, I'm always excited to be nominated, but I'm never like, if I don't win, I'm going to talk shit about people. You know, like, I don't take it, like, so seriously that I get mad or jealous right. about what other people are doing. I'm like, hey, we're all like just trying to make some money and hopefully have fun. And some people take this like it's life or death. Like,
wow.
Like super serious. And there's I don't a get lot nominated. Of yeah. where we're right. Like, I didn't get nominated. You know, fuck these hoes. You know, they don't even these like they'll list off girls. They're like, they don't even have sex on their videos. They just do boob stuff or, you know, whatever. And I'm like, oh, geez. So there's always a thing, you know, like there. And I'm like, I don't make the rules. Like, I'm not.
Because right. they're all kind of in one category. And
right. Everyone's lumped in together.
Right.
So, you know, and that's the other thing is you get people like, well, she's not a BBW. She's too thin or, you know, or, oh, she's way too big. She doesn't deserve, there should be a different category for the supersized BBWs. Like there's always a reason why someone either should have been nominated or should not have been, or this person should have won or this person should not have won. There's always something. And I'm sure it's like that in the like mainstream side of porno too, with some stuff, like people have their own shit.
Sure.
But on the BBW side, like Twitter's going to get really hot in November, hotter than Thanksgiving dinner.
I'm going to set that hashtag BBW and watch the spark. Yeah.
I mean, it might not be too bad, but it just like every year there's always something.
Well, this is a weird year because of the COVID, but yeah.
And like last year was straight, you know, it was like there wasn't even a live show. Everything was digital. And right. there's still no word how it will be for you know, 2022 ABNs, like how that's going to look at. So who knows?
What did you do during pandemic? You did OnlyFans and all that?
I kept shooting my own content, OnlyFans. I picked up a job doing quality control for one of the companies. So I literally watch porno, lots and lots of porno, and tell them what's wrong before the videos go out. So I just look for editing errors and glitches and stuff like that. So I help with the editing team.
Like make sure you like both dicks on the DP and all that.
See, all of that, you know, or it's just like, oh, the audio and video don't match. So like you slapped her ass, but then the sound of the slap was like 2 seconds later. You know,
you can't have that.
So, I mean, so it's so much stuff that you don't realize is like part of that process. Because
it's like karate movie shit.
Right. You know, and it's sometimes it's just errors that happen, you know, but you don't see it because you get the final product and you're like, oh, this looks amazing. And
I didn't know they had quality control. That's great.
Some companies do. I don't think they all do, but yes, some do. So I do that for one of the companies and it's fun. I mean, you know, people are like, wow, do you get tired of watching people bang all day? And I'm like, you know, once
you're hypersexual.
I'm like, I'm not all there.
You'll be like, look, she's got the dick suck gag. We have to redub that because it didn't quite. Yeah, it doesn't quite.
But it's funny because, like, you know, they're like, how are you not just turned on all the time? And I'm like, look, I'm more interested in like finding the guy's reflection in the glass and being like, oop, I see someone in the glass. You know, like for me, it's that hunt of like finding mistakes and being like, oh, this is so hot.
Or you get the girl looking in the camera too much. Oh, this is great. Anyway, get her to stop looking in the camera. Well, you must be, I mean, you must wear out guys like in your private life like crazy.
I don't even.
A mere mortal man cannot keep up with you.
A girl can dream.
You must leave men, you know, quivering in your wake.
I'm sure a bunch of guys are
like, yeah, I'll fuck you all night. I'll wear you out, and then like in the mornings, you just like a wet noodle, and you kick them out the door.
And be like, thanks for playing. Better luck next time.
Now, a couple questions before we go. This hour just flew by. We definitely want to have you again. Next time you're in LA, let us know. We'll figure out a studio and we'll put you in with somebody crazy. And we'll have you smother me and do all sorts of stuff.
That'd be great. That would be super fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Let us know when you're in LA. We'll definitely do it. Or we'll get you in another BBW and you guys can fight over a nomination. But
you can come up with a fake award and we can like wrestle over it.
That's right. That's right. The Dark Mark BBW of the year. When you go to your videos and you see like you refer to as plumper or other not so nice names, does that bother you or you don't care? You're just getting paid.
Not really, because there are so many names people use, and I'm like, look, I can't be the fat girl name police. You know, because some people, there are people who are like, oh, we don't want to be called BBW anymore. We want to be called plus sized because it is part of that whole body positivity. Plus sized.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, and I'm like, look, if people just want to call me fat, like that's cool. Plumper, you know, whatever. Like, I'm very aware that I have a lot of adipose tissue. I'm a big girl. Like, it is what it is. You know, and it's cool. Like, it's part of me. And
you're big in all the right places.
You know, it's, you know, it could be worse.
Yeah. I have
an arm coming out of my shoulder.
The hourglass, God, I hate him. It took me a while to say that. The hourglass figure used to be the standard of beauty. Now it's the rectangle.
You know, and you know, COVID made me a little more rectangular. A lot of staying at home. But it's not so bad.
Have you done scenes since COVID? Are you
yeah,
back?
No, I have. I've been filming. I've shot some for Jeff's Models. So all of that is kind of coming out. I don't know when a DVD comes out or whatever, but I know the scenes are coming out.
So I saw Jeff's Models scene with you. Jeff's like a gray haired guy with the like a soul patch.
So that's Jay. But yeah, that's for Jeff's Models. Yeah. So I've been like shooting stuff with that and, you know, doing that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm like back filming now that it's that weird where it was like, I kind of hit that spot of like, okay, cool. Like I can start working again because COVID's not as scary and I'm vaccinated and stuff is happening. And now it's like, oh no, the Delta variant, COVID's getting scary again. I'm like, what are we doing? Can we not?
I know.
But you should check out the scene's wonderful. I watched it a number of times, but the best thing about the scene is the actual screen grab before you see the scene is like you in front of the guy and he's like, he's got his mouth wide open. It's so great. And then, and the last question, and then we'll get you to plug everything that you want to plug. And once again, next time you're in LA, let us know. We'll get the studio. We'll get you in with an interesting guest, and we'll all have a good time. What are you into? What is your favorite fetish?
Oh gosh, that is always so
really
hard.
Turns you on,
right?
Privately.
Like, it's so hard because I'm into so many different things. So I'm always like, what can we do now? But honestly, like I really like giving blowjobs. Like that's just kind of a thing where I'm like, oh, I feel like a little bit of a succubus. I like to suck the dick. Like I enjoy it.
It's a good answer.
No, but it's true though. Like you could.
No, I feel like likewise. Yeah. I'm giving head.
Like
you like that better than receiving? But some people do.
In a way, yeah. Like if I have an opportunity to kind of like, okay, we're gonna rock paper scissors it, like I'm really gonna try to win because I want to suck the dick. Like I'll try to like beat you to the point where I can be like, no, I'm sucking your dick. I like receiving, it's fun, but I'm like, but I want to suck your dick because I want to make you feel good. It makes me feel good and it's exciting. And you know,
interesting sidebar here, our former guest and you're really catching up fast, but my personal favorite porn star, Ella Darling, I said on the show, she does not like 69 because she can't.
It's distracting.
You see, she's saying the same thing you are, that you can concentrate and give the best blowjob you can. But to me, that's what's great about 69 is that you guys go back and forth. Like,
right.
I get her so hot that she can't, she has to stop and, oh. And the same thing on the other end. She gets me so hot that I have to stop it.
Because you know, like I've been with some partners
back and
who
forth.
Are like
that's great about it.
Not that good at oral. So it's like I can do
69
with them. Cause you're
I mean, not that there is definitely a talent to giving a good blowjob, but it's so much harder to get eaten out. Like when the one it's just more difficult. There's more nerves down there, there's more folds, there's more liquids. Like it's just a complicated thing, the female vagina. So it's easier to give a blowjob than to get oral from a guy.
It's so worth it though. But I mean, but every woman's different. Some women, I mean, I've been complimented many a time, but there are some women that prefer the fingers, that prefer the dick, that you know, every woman's different, you know. So you know, there's some women, you know, I'll put the tongue on the clit for 2 seconds. They're going crazy. And some women, I'm down there for 2 hours and I gotta finally figure out the key to the lock. You gotta figure it out. So anyway, so you like blowjobs. What is another fetish that you're into?
I do, you know, with kind of in line with like domination and stuff, I do like spanking people a lot, like flogging and spanking and all of those things. Sometimes it's hard to find takers, you know, because it's like a thing where it's like, hey, spank you.
So you'll just spank a guy's ass till it's red and then suck him off?
It could be a good time. I mean, why not?
Well, sounds good to me.
spank a girl, whatever, you know, everyone's good for spanking.
I didn't mean to be so binary. I spank whoever you want. Girls, guys,
like everybody deserves a good spanking.
I don't care. Whatever, non-binary, whatever you want.
It's just like in Monty Python. Whatever. It's like spanking, spanking.
Everybody wants to get spanked.
Naughty, naughty Zeus.
Yes.
Yeah, do you do the flat hand or you do like a kind of...
Sometimes I'll spank with a hand, but I usually like to use like paddles and flogs and I like implements.
Nice. Nice. Well, we will talk about that next time. Definitely. Maybe we'll get you in with a dominatrix. We'll figure it out. But anyway, you've been a delight. I've had such a fun time.
Yay.
Sarah, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and how they can get custom videos and everything that you do. Or have you tell them how small their dick is, whatever, whatever they want to do.
The easiest way to find me is allmylinks.com/Sarah Starr, because that has everything, my Twitter and all those things. Obviously, Twitter is Sarah Starr XXX, and that will always lead you to all of the things.
Is there a non-XXX Sarah Starr?
Not really. Like,
good.
All filth all the time.
Now, was that all my links or on my links?
All.
Okay. Yeah. That's what it's called, allmylinks.com.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good.
It's like a link tree, but it's not, it's all a different thing.
It's like
a link tree, but you have all my links.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I think I have a link tree, but I've just never like put everything on it. So I probably need to finish that. I'm just like, because I found all my links first. So that's kind of what I.
Well, you're Sarah Starr XXX on Instagram and Twitter, right? Okay.
Instagram is XOXO Sarah Starr because they don't like the XXX on Instagram.
And like you say, you do custom videos. You'll evaluate dicks.
You'll
just you'll dress up as a nun. You'll dress up as dumb. That's cool. You do whatever somebody wants.
Pretty much.
Yes, and if. If you like, if you're into busty women like I am, it gets rarely bustier.
It's so busty.
Yeah. And from one busty woman to another, Nicole, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, I'm at Nicole6Books on Instagram. I'm Nicole H6 on Facebook. And I'm at renegaderadio.com, where you can read me under News on the Street.
And probably getting a link tree very soon or in all my life.
I think I should do that. Yeah, I think that's very smart.
And I'm Goth Comedian on all social media. And I have a link tree. And that'll be, you can see that on all my social media. And I've had a great time. This has been terrific.
Yay.
Thank you, Sarah. And
of course.
Everybody tune in next month. We got some great guests starting with Tommy Chong. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week.